at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
The newspapers are very much divided on what's happening with Kenny, right? So I'm going to bring you the back page of the Herald. Kenny poised for a new deal. That's on the back of... Oh, sorry, the paper's a bit scrumpled. Kenny poised for a new deal. That's the back of the Herald this morning on Dan McDonald's story. I don't have the end. I do, yeah. New Kenny deal looms, but FAI will wait. So contract decision will not be brought forward, but manager is expected to stay on. It won't be brought forward before...
November.
Before November. That's when they were always going to have their end of campaign run. Anyway, the Star's headline on this is, waiting game, Kenny's not likely to learn contract fate until summer. So that's next summer, which would seem like an unusual course of action for an organisation who claim that they're having trouble selling sponsorship of the senior national team, to like kick the whole certainty around the senior national team back that far. So that is that. And then is there one from the Mail this morning? There is. Not in the bag. The cat is no in the sack, as Trapp would have said. Kenny still needs strong finish to secure a new deal. So are there... Sports Mail understands that a strong Irish showing against Ronaldo and co in Dublin, followed by a win over Luxembourg, will be sufficient to secure a contract extension for Kenny to cover the 2022-2023 Nations League and Euro 2024 qualifiers. So that's saying that third place is important, but third place is actually out of our hands as it stands. I think it's different in the Star, slightly different in the Star, but essentially they're the same stories, are they?
Yeah, and this idea of third versus fourth is a really interesting one, because as you say, an element of it is out of Ireland's hands, but it appears from the piece in the Irish Daily Mail that this is going to be important, that finishing third and Kenny is safe, and finishing fourth and he's not so safe. So for me, distilling it down to that takes out the idea of performing well. Now, in fairness, I know that he does say that a performance against Portugal and a win against Luxembourg is what's required, but I mean, there could be a terrible performance against Luxembourg and a scratchy win, and vice versa. So are we judging it by results, or are we judging it by performance at this stage, considering the results will have no bearing on whether or not Ireland will actually qualify for the World Cup? It is totally gone. Qualifying or finishing third is, even to a point, out of Ireland's hands. So
it's a kind of dead rubbers, right? But an interesting paragraph from the Lennon piece in the Star: failure to beat Luxembourg would leave Kenny in a difficult position that will almost certainly push Ireland into fourth place in the final table. Such a scenario would see two separate groups within the board at odds over Kenny's future, with neither side willing to back down. The compromise would see Kenny remain in his role for March's friendly doubleheader and the first four Nations League games in June. The FAI board would then meet in June to decide on Kenny's position, with the additional six games providing further evidence to be considered. They both actually have exactly the same detail around the following bit. Kenny's declaration following the defeat of Qatar that he is targeting to win the team's Nations League group in League B next year triggered raised eyebrows in some quarters. And following the 4-0 trouncing of Qatar on Tuesday, says Philip Quinn in the Mail, Kenny is understood to have caught his FAI bosses out post-match with his remarks about targeting the Nations League next summer as a route to the Euro 2024 playoffs. This apparently was news to the Abbottstown hierarchy. The picture of the board is like a board at odds with each other, and not kind of that in tune with the next round of games, when wouldn't you be trying to use the Nations Cup to qualify for the Euros? Wouldn't that be a good idea?
It certainly can't be a bad idea.
Is it that surprising to the board? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, obviously, there's clearly well-sourced stories here from some members of the board who are talking to the Star and the Mail. And that's interesting, right? But they don't come across as like very progressive or smart or unified as a board. Mm. They seem factionalized, which I thought the whole point was that they were trying to be a new, forward thinking, we understand Irish football, we're in touch with the grassroots, we understand what the fans want, and we're going to deliver for the board. But you'd have to question how well this board is doing when, as we keep pointing out, as keeps getting thrown at Stephen Kenny, there's no sponsor for the senior international men's team. I don't know. It's and also, why would you be surprised if the manager wants to win games? He's caught them off guard because he wants to qualify for the Euros. Well, that's his job. That's his job, lads.
Yeah, that is it is remarkable if there are people on the board who are like, you know, they spit their tea out as they see Stephen Kenny say he wants to win games? The Nations League.
Who the hell does he think he is?
He wants to beat Albania. And like maybe I'm viewing this a complete wrong way, but if I was one of those board members, God, I'd have seen the last week as a huge boon for me personally, or a huge opportunity. You've got a manager and a team that the public like. We've finally done something right. We've installed this guy, and granted, there was COVID restrictions, but there's a sellout for a game against Qatar, a friendly against Qatar, and all the tickets that were available are gone. And everybody was in amazing voice. It was as if it was, you know, those early moments of the Denmark 5-1 when the Aviva was rocking. There was so much positivity going around the place. And we can take credit for this. We can double down on this, and we can ensure that this lasts for the next little while. Instead, it seems that what's happened as a result of the window is just renewed stories about concern within the FAI board, which is just strange. I think this is such a positive movement that the FAI board could absolutely bandwagon on.
Instead, what they've done is they're trying to, or some members of the board are obviously trying to ratchet up the heat on Stephen Kenny. When what happened previously was they were like, oh, look, it's Baku or bust was the headline in the Mail. And then all of a sudden, actually, no, we go and we win there 4-0. That's not good enough. It's the shifting. It's the constant shifting. And I don't know, is what is far more likely to be the outcome is that the calm heads prevail, and so Stephen Kenny is in a strong position to extend his stay as Ireland manager, but the FA will not bring forward a decision ahead of the November window. So that's Don McDonald's piece, that they'll wait until November. November will be part of the, you would assume, a small part, not the major part. And it would seem ludicrous at this point to go back on the amount of time and effort and money that they've invested in the current manager to move on to something completely different.
Yeah. I think also the June possibility, surely that's a non-starter for anybody on both sides of the divide here that seems to be in the boardroom. That makes little to no sense for me. If you're going to make up your mind in November, basically, it would be a terrible time to change manager after those four games in June. June is a really busy month, but it doesn't stop there. There's another couple of games in September. The Nations League is essentially, the path of the Nations League is going to be decided within those 10 to 12 days in June. There's four games in that one international window, basically, at the end of the season. And we'll know then how well or otherwise the Nations League has gone.
But wouldn't it be ridiculous to go into that Nations League without knowing who your manager is going to be?
That's what I mean.
It would be astonishingly bad planning. So you either decide we're doubling down, or you pull the ripcord, so that at least the next manager has those games, which is actually a bona fide opportunity to qualify, which we shouldn't blow. But if there is going to be a next manager, then you need to give him that opportunity to do those, to take those games, and use that as some way of understanding what style of play you're going to have to get to the Euros.
The manager of those Nations League games needs to be going to England every weekend throughout 2022 and watching his players play. And if that manager is going to be Stephen Kenny, then they need to make that decision in November, because I think a sacking in June would be a terrible thing. So I think that's a non-starter. I'm surprised that there is still a level of spit after the last little while, because we were led to believe that there has never been a more important dead rubber than the game against Azerbaijan. Now all of a sudden there's never been a more important dead rubber than the games against Portugal and Luxembourg.
Yeah. It's obviously still an organisation which has factions and which is not unified. Which is really disappointing, because you felt like there was an opportunity to hit the reset button within the FAI after Champagne Football, and it doesn't feel like they've taken that opportunity. And maybe this is just a few people who are disaffected about something, and they're using this as an opportunity to put their stories out there. But you would hope that the chairman and the chief executive are calling around the board asking, why are there stories about us every day in the papers? Why are there stories about us every day in the papers. If you've got something that you want to say, say it in the forum of the board meeting, and let's have some form of confidentiality around that so that we can actually make progress as an organisation, so that we are the change we believe in, and we're the ones who are going out there and showing that this is an organisation you should sponsor. This is an organisation that you should invest millions in, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for millions of pounds, millions of euros to be invested in Irish football around the senior international team, and they're not getting it at the moment. Mm. And pointing the fingers at the current manager is completely wrong. Like, they should be looking at themselves as a board and saying, no, we run Irish football because we've got the best interests of Irish football at heart. Mm. And we can achieve this. And actually, here's the thing. It's a really talented board. They've got reams and reams of experience. So there's no reason why they couldn't, if they were unified, fix most of the problems that are facing Irish football.
And like, they should have taken the ball that they've been presented with and run with it. And they've managed to create negative headlines around something where they want positivity. As you say, the money factor. They need positive headlines around this team. And I'm not saying that the last week is any sort of like answer to the referendum on Stephen Kenny at all. Like, I mean, I definitely think there is still more to be seen in November. But if you are a board member, you're looking for any inkling of hope that you can use for your own financial gain and to prove that you're doing a good job. Stephen Kenny has given this to them on a silver platter. The players have given it to them on a silver platter this week. And it seems that some of the board members have declined to use this public mood change. And maybe it's not that much of a change. I think there was a lot of positivity around Kenny anyway. But if you were in any doubt, I think the reception for the Qatar game the other day certainly proves that. So like the one thing we should say as well is that like we don't know which board members are saying what. The one board member who constantly gets named in all of these pieces is Roy Barrett, who we know is in support of Stephen Kenny at this point. So the one person who's willing to essentially be named, I guess, in all of this is the person who's in support of Stephen Kenny. I guess the middle ground between what you're suggesting and that is the people who aren't against him, maybe, you know, don't be afraid to let your names get out there.
Look, exactly. Either, you know, and there should be debate, right? I'm not saying that there should never be uniformity on a board, but the forum for that conversation is the board meeting as opposed to the back pages of the national press. And because we've seen what happens over a period of time, you know, the pre-Delaney era, this type of stuff would have happened. And those factions allow somebody to come in, some messianic figure to come in and take charge. And look, if we're going to repeat the cycle, we're going to repeat the cycle, and Irish football is not going to go anywhere. But I don't think anybody wants that. So a reminder, OTBAM is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward. They're new and improved razors. I have to say, I disagree about the referendum. I think the referendum should have been won, and that was their opportunity to come out and say, okay, we had an impromptu board meeting. We've decided to go through to the Euros. Everything is all systems go. This is an incredible team reflective of modern Ireland. We had a sellout for Qatar with really innovative ticketing pricing. That was the main thing. It was really cheap to go to the match. That was a brilliant idea. And there are clearly good things happening in Irish football at underage level. So we're going to crest this wave all the way through to the Euros. Let's go. We're a unified team. That's what I would have done as a business. I think that was the right thing for them to do. I think this kicking it down to, what if Ronaldo scores a hat-trick against us? Like, he scored a hat-trick again during the week. There's a, like, that Portugal team are brilliant. Yeah. Like, oh, he got beat by Portugal. It's like, well, but hang on. Mm-hmm. But what difference does it make?
You see, I would tend to agree with that. But at the same time, I can see where the wait till November point is coming from, because you're waiting till the end of the campaign. I can accept that. To be honest with you, I can actually kind of see where on Saturday night where Didi Haman was coming from, saying you can't just judge it on the last seven games. Personally, when I saw those last seven games, I was like, that's great. I mean, that is a good way to judge it. But I can see why people will say, no, you need to look at it in an overall sense, that the campaign.
Yeah,
I would say that you can see through the campaign Ireland have clearly got better, and that's where you need to be judging it on. But
COVID, no training, players sitting absolutely in the seats on the thing, false positives. Like, yeah, I am going to judge it on the whole campaign. I'm going to go absolutely doomed in terms of the bad luck that befell them from the start. Like, one of your coaches walking out, like, all sorts of stuff happens, right? And then every step along the way, you've taken measures to fix it. Progressive measures that we can now begin to see the fruits of. So, yeah, double down, give them the contract, and away we go. Instead, it's like, we're all wasting time talking about this. And that's not good for the FAI. That's not good for Irish football. Like, that's uncertainty.
The one thing as well that you could possibly use, so say if there's like a feeling within the FAI that, you know, he's going to get kept on over the next little while and see out the 2024 campaign. If you give him his contract now, there might be a pep in Stephen Kenny's step and his whole management team going into those games against Luxembourg and Portugal. There may just be that little kick that might go into maybe causing an upset against Portugal at home. And like that's a big deal. If that happens and like that's in front of a full stadium, granted it's a dead rubber, and you get some sort of result, even a draw there, that's a seminal moment in the Grafitis team. As you say, like it could be a very similar level of performance from Ireland between that and Portugal smashing them, because if Portugal just get on song with that attack, there may be no stopping them. But I think that there's an opportunity here to kind of take what you got from Qatar the other day and say, well, there's a much bigger team coming to town in a little while. If we back our manager before that, we could create something special that night, or be a tiny part of it at the very least. So there's definitely benefits to doing that right now. The one thing I just, again, to go back on what I said, the one thing I can't get my head around right now is to spin the last week into a negative, because if you're involved in the FAI, And that's what I mean here, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, you are a stakeholder in this. Why would you spin your organisation into any sort of negative story after what happened last week? Granted, if you're on the outside looking in and you're sniping, that's fine. I mean, like, that happens in all walks of life. But you're an actual part of the FAI board. Like, grasp this opportunity for the positivity, because there hasn't been too many of them recently.
Right, give us your views. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number, or of course you can always get in touch on the YouTube stream, and you can tweet us at Off the Ball AM. You've had a look at the potential.
Yeah.
So one of the big controversies was apparently, according to feathers were ruffled in Awadstown when the manager said, "Oh, we want to go and try and win the Nations League group. We're going to enter this competition, and we're going to try and win it."
Mm.
It's a controversial statement.
Yeah.
It's a bit out there. It's bold, it's brave, it's ballsy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too much, Owen? Is it too much?
The next big day, whoever the Ireland manager will be in a suit watching the draw on the 16th of December this year, when the draw for next year's Nations League is done. I mean, Ireland and the Nations League have had a miserable relationship, I think it's fair to say. I think there's an element of PTSD, whether it's us trying to explain the format here on the show, Kevin Kilbane, to the actual matches on the pitch, and Wales all the time. It's always Wales. The good news is that we cannot draw Wales this time. Wales finished top of our Nations League group and are competing in League A in this year's or next year's renewal of it. So what we've got in our own pool, so we're in pot three, are Israel, Romania and Serbia. So we cannot draw Serbia in our Nations League group, which is a good start. If we shoot down then and look at the fourth seeds, the people who got promoted from League C, you've got Slovenia, Montenegro, Albania, Armenia. No fear there. Beat those, right?
Right? Look, I mean, there's no easy games in touch with one more, Owen.
I'm getting excited when I look at pot two, because
can I take a second to write these down? So you're saying Slovenia,
yeah, Montenegro, Albania, and Armenia. Does Henrik Mkhitaryan still play with Armenia?
I presume he does. He's still playing until he's 50.
Yeah.
No,
I'd assume so. Albania, not a bad side. So they're your bottom four. They all got promoted from League C. So we'll certainly have one of those in Ireland's group. I'm excited at the prospect of pot two, because there could be a high-profile scalp here, and also the possibility of some potentially world-class talents coming to Ireland. So what you've got here is Finland, who I think we want. Norway, who I think actually we should want. I think it would be great to have the opportunity to see Oma Bamadeli and Erling Haaland go toe-to-toe. Duffy and Haaland go toe-to-toe.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem is any time world-class talent comes to the Aviva, Christian Eriksen scores a hat-trick.
Mm.
And he wasn't even as good as this guy.
Yeah, that is the problem. And Scotland and Russia are the other two teams there. Scotland would also be a lovely one. I think if you're looking at it competitively, Russia and Norway is who you want to avoid. I know we didn't exactly fare well against Finland in the last Nations League, but I think Ireland are a better team than...
I can't remember those games at all. I've blanked them from
my memory. They certainly happened. Didn't
3-0 and...
Didn't Teemu Pukki roll...
Oh, they won 2-0 one of them, did they?
Yeah. I mean, like, the Nations League is a blur. The empty stadiums are as well, and that whole thing. Like, finishing up...
1-1-0 both games.
Yeah.
Match day 4 and match day 2.
There you go. Somehow we finished ahead of Bulgaria in that group by just being less bad than they were. So, like, I think there's an opportunity there for maybe a home win against one of those teams, for sure. And then a really competitive away win. And I'm talking about Finland and Scotland there. Like, in all reality, Norway and Russia are strong sides. And Ireland expecting to beat them and certainly getting the result away from home might be a step too far. But then you look at the pot one, the teams that have come down from League A, you've got Ukraine, you've got Sweden, you've got Bosnia and Herzegovina, and you've got Iceland. So I think it's the latter two names there that you'd be looking towards, Iceland or Bosnia and Herzegovina, trying to avoid Sweden and Ukraine.
So
I think
worst case scenario is you get Russia, Ukraine. That'd be interesting. Maybe they'd have to play against each other.
Yeah, they could take each other out.
They're not allowed to be in the same group, are they?
Oh, that's a good point. That was certainly a thing for a while.
Okay, so worst case scenario, is it Norway?
I would say it's Sweden. I'd say it's Sweden, Norway, and maybe Albania. I'm not sure. Or Montenegro, probably. That's the worst case scenario. But like, the beauty of like looking at these things is like, yeah, you know, he said we can win the Nations League, and you look at those teams on paper, Ireland can win the Nations League, and then when you actually get onto the pitch, it suddenly dissolves before your eyes. But this is a better Ireland team than the one that took to the field in the last couple of Nations Leagues, because they've both been nightmares, really. And now, in fairness, there was a number of different reasons for the last Nations League and it being a nightmare. But the one thing to say is that Nations League was more important than this one will be, because that will help you into a playoff for the World Cup, whereas merely existing in League B of the Nations League should be good enough to get you a playoff for the next Euros. But maybe Ireland would even need that. I don't know. It'll all depend on how that 2024 draw goes. So that's how the seeds are looking. And it's just something that we kind of looked at, because Kenny had mentioned the other night that he's targeting actually winning it. So it's, in fairness, like, I mean, I don't think it should be like causing any sort of alarm bells in Abbottstown. But certainly when I heard him say it, my eyebrows were raised. I was like, wow, okay, this is a big statement. And maybe you could say he's putting a target on his back by saying it. But like, I mean, manager says he wants to win competition in which he's managing in. I don't think it's exactly earth-shattering stuff.
Fergus Keogh asks on YouTube, is the Nations League all the luck of the draw? We can get Ukraine, Sweden and Russia, or we can get Finland, Armenia and Montenegro.
It's true. Yeah. We can't get Armenia and Montenegro, but 100% the draw is huge here. I do think that I think getting Finland out of that pot too would certainly be a good thing. Now, in fairness, like mid sentence there, I'm getting flashbacks to us having the same conversation before Ireland's 2018 World Cup playoff draw, and we were like, you know, I mean, we've got a 1 in 4 chance of getting Denmark. Maybe a miracle could happen if we get them. Denmark comes out of the pot. There's wild celebrations in the office. We're going to Russia, and then the Denmark games take place. So let's not talk about any sort of prospective wins that Ireland could have against prospective opposition in the Nations League.
Portugal is a shot to nothing, says Mark, but Luxembourg game is important in the overall sense of how Kenny is judged. If we don't beat them, the only win in the group would be Azerbaijan. Maybe. But like, if everything is coming down to that one game, then you're throwing out all the signs of progress. You're throwing out the style of play evolution. You're throwing out the opportunity to build on that on the basis of this cup final. And we know teams lose cup finals. Good teams lose cup finals all the time. Wigan won an FA Cup final against Man City, and everyone didn't go, oh, Man City, what a shambles. Like, it's just, that's...
Like, it would need to be a really horrifying November for your view to be changed substantially, I would have thought.
Yeah, but I think if you're going into it with, you already see a picture, you're like, I mean, you can see already that the people who are building the campaign against Kenny have this kind of hit list of stuff that happened, which obviously gets ruined when he wins 4-0 in matches.
Yeah. And the same thing, it would take Ireland two massive hammerings of the opposition to win two big results for anybody on the negative side to change their view as well. Like, I definitely think that maybe this morning's headlines do prove a bit of an entrenched position from a couple of corners.
Yeah, the Sun are interesting in this. They go with the headline, Kenny, we do have the players. The lads passed the test. So this is his belief in the technical proficiency of the players. That's the other thing that kind of strikes me that's important in all this that we haven't really spoken about, is that for years we've essentially been told, we're no good, we can't do this. And then somebody comes in and says, why shouldn't we have ambition? And our reaction has been, in some quarters, to go, who the hell do you think you are? We don't have the players. How could you even dare talk like that? Mm. We need to get somebody in who's foreign, who's going to tell us that we're no good again, because that's when we're at our best. It's like, what? How does that make any sense? What Stephen Kenny has shown is that we should have ambition. And that we're right to have ambition, and that the players, particularly the ones coming through, but even the evolution of Shane Duffy from somebody who would never have played like this under any of the previous Ireland managers. Somebody who's now like, yeah, I'm going to ping that ball. I can do that. Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
I play in the Premier League, which makes me literally one of the top 1% of footballers in the world in a sport that everybody plays. Yeah, he can do that. No problems.
I still think that we're kind of coming to terms to that, terms with that, though. I definitely think that even people who would want Stephen Kenny to stay on and get a 10-year contract would still have reservations about the quality of player overall. Like, we can't just forget that the coverage after the defeat to Luxembourg focused on grassroots football in this country and focused on producing better players. Like, that was certainly the tone. And even Keith Andrews, when he was sitting in here, like, said that we're not good enough to expect to beat Luxembourg. Like that. So, like, in fairness, that stuff is on the record. But I agree with you. Like, I think that what we've seen over the past couple of days is almost this sort of... We've been way too quick to judge people by the league that they play in or that the reputation that they have. And I think the League One example has been a great testing ground for that.
Why don't we try and find out where our limits are? Why don't we try and find out where the limits of those players are, as 100%. Opposed to saying you can't do this?
100%.
We're going to push you and push you and push you. And when you get up against your ceiling, it'll then be evident that that's your ceiling.
Yeah.
And so at that point, we'll use all our pragmatism, but we'll continue to use all the best aspects of our football, which is aggressive, in your face, pressing, which it looks like is a key part of what we're doing and definitely is part of our national football characteristic. But let's have the ambition for the good passers. Like, there was always good passers in Irish football all the way back to the team that beat England 2-0.
Where can you find that limit, though? Dead rubber games is against one team who is stronger than Ireland on paper and another team who is technically on paper just a little bit weaker than Ireland. Like, they're two fantastic opportunities to test that limit, and that's why maybe there should be a bit more trust in the manager even before those games take place.